If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey everyone, welcome back to On Deck, our podcast all about the Steam Deck. This is episode 3. I'm Bill, that's Lloyd. How's it going, Lloyd?
It is going fantastic, man. We're getting, every day we get one step closer to when our ticket will be pulled and we'll be able to purchase our Steam Deck. So I'm getting excited as the days and months kind of tick on.
By the way, we didn't plan on talking about this ahead of time, but have you checked to see if your estimated date is more specific yet? Because I've checked and mine still says quarter one 2022, but I've seen other people say that they have more accurate information now. Has yours done that?
No, let me log in, or let me go to that. Oh, I gotta log in. I can't do that from
here.
Yeah,
you gotta log in.
See where it is. It says after Q2 2022 because I haven't logged in. I'll try to log in as we're doing stuff, and we'll see if maybe I can update that time a little bit more.
All right. Well, anyway, let's talk about this episode. So this is what the episode that we planned for last time. But then they gave us a bunch of information for us to talk about, which was awesome. This episode is all about us responding to your comments. So I found a whole bunch of comments that people had posted, and I don't know if we're going to get to them all. If you have comments that we missed and you definitely want us to talk about it in the future, make sure you comment down below if you're watching this over on our YouTube channel. If you are listening to this podcast, please do us a favor and check out the YouTube channel. You can find it over at nerdnest.tv. All right. First comment that I found, it's probably not true. It's one of the first comments that I found. It said, "I'm a PC enthusiast with a great rig, but also a handheld enthusiast as I grew up with a Game Boy. So I will be getting this. It's customizable as well as having the biggest library available from any handheld at the start of its lifespan. I am happy that I don't have to invest in a new ecosystem anymore now that I'm already a part of Steam." And I was like, you know, that got me thinking. And I was like, how many games are on Steam? And I went and I was looking it up, and it turns out that as of February, which is a long time ago at this point, but as of February, there's 50,000 games on Steam. Now, say what you will about how many of those games are good and how many of those games are not so good, but 50,000 games. I keep calling this a console and people get mad at me. I don't care. I'm going to keep calling it a console.
Right.
But this console is going to launch with 50,000 games on it. What's your reaction to that, Lloyd?
Just imagine if you only were interested in the top 1% of games on any given platform, and you go to like the Nintendo Switch and it's like, okay, there's these 30 games are really good. Xbox, okay, these 20 games are really good. Steam, okay, these 500 games are really good. Like that's a large number, even if you're only interested in the top 1%. This is going to be a platform that has an unlimited number of games because it can run anything. So if you don't have a large Steam library because you don't play a lot of Steam games, that's cool. You go to itch.io and you play all those itch.io games right on your device. You go to the Epic Games Store. You go to the Internet Archive and download DOSBox with all these old freeware games. There is an unlimited number of games in this library, which is super, super exciting. But even if you're just someone that wants a console experience, immediately you have access to every major video game that's been released for the most part over the last 20 years on this platform, which is pretty crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know what? Ginjo Nijson, thank you very much for... Gino Nijson, I said the name wrong. Thank you very much for the comment. And yeah, I'm super excited about this. And like, lots of other people were excited about his comment as well, because there were like 51 likes on that comment. So right. A lot of people are with you on that. Let's move on to the next comment that came in. This was from Pulitzer TC. And this is what they had to say. The beauty of PC is things like fonts can be modded. Most of the time, it's simply editing an INI file. And so I wanted, this is kind of in response to a conversation that we were having before about, I forget what game it was, but there was a game where we were like, oh, you know, the font, the font is a little hard to read.
Yeah.
And so Pulitzer is saying, well, I mean, you could just change the font because it's a PC, it's not locked down. And I think that's a really good point. But then this is really cool. John Smith responded to that and they said, one interesting thing I read is Valve said they also have some built-in magnifier application you can run. I wonder how practical that will be for a lot of games, which is a really good point. But that got me thinking, it's a touch screen.
Yeah.
I mean, like when I'm using my phone and like I'm trying to select text that I'm typing or something, if I tap on that and hold, it brings up a little magnifying glass that shows like the area where I'm tapping. Wouldn't it be awesome if you could like turn on a magnifier for game X and then you just touch on the screen the spot that you want to see a little bit bigger and it blows it up a little bit bigger for you just above your finger? That would be fantastic. And this is the kind of stuff you can't do on other platforms because they don't have all of the different input systems of Steam input. What do you think about that idea, Lloyd?
Yeah, I think that's great. First, my Steam Deck still says it's quarter one, 2022. I finally got that page to load, so it's not quarter four of 2021, which I was kind of hoping for. Maybe that will slide up as we get closer to launch. As for the INI, editing INI files to get better fonts and things like that, this was about our comment where a lot of the games that are out there right now are meant for big screens, like a 1080p screen that's right in front of you to play on PC. When you shrink that down to 720p, a lot of that stuff will be unreadable. Of course, you can edit INI files, but I think a lot of the stuff that we're doing with this podcast is we're coming to this platform as a console gamer, not someone that plays on PCs that already is modding and doing all that fun stuff. So I hope that there's baked in support for things like a magnifier, like John Smith said, or just a way for all developers that are coming out with games to see, okay, I'm on a Steam Deck, I got to increase the font size by 40% across the board in all of the UI. All the UI has to increase by 40%. That would be really great. But like what you said, the touch to zoom, you hit pause and then you pinch to zoom or touch the screen to get a pop-up of that text would be a really good way for them to easily do that. So the developers don't have to change their game, but you can quickly, through your own actions, be able to see what's on the text or what's on the screen in the text box is a little bit easier. Both you and I, Bill, we've been playing a little bit of Humankind. And there is a lot of text. And when I first started that game on a 4K screen, it was only displaying to me at 1080p for whatever reason. And the fonts were almost impossible to read at 1080p on a 27-inch panel that's in front of me. I can't imagine what they would be like on a device that is 720p that I'm holding in my hands. So hopefully developers and Valve themselves will work on easy ways to make non-specific supported games, so games that are specifically targeting the Steam Deck, perform or be displayed a little bit better just through magnifier glasses or the ability to like pinch and zoom when you're in a pause state or something like that.
Yeah, Pseudo Knight actually replied, I missed this the first time around, but he said there's already a toggle magnifier button mapping in Steam Input's configuration menu. I was not aware of that. The Steam input configuration menu is incredibly powerful, but it's also kind of a mess, and it's really hard to like learn all of the ins and outs. It feels like it's written from the viewpoint of somebody who is a developer, and they give us these tools and, you know, we can figure out how to do things and you can do some ridiculous stuff with Steam input, but it's not all easily understandable when you first look at it. But they said basically it's worth mentioning because it means support in combination with a touchscreen is pretty likely. And then somebody else said you could just do, you know, the two finger pinch to zoom or expand to zoom in order to zoom in on stuff as well, which would be really cool.
It would be really cool if through Steam input for a game that doesn't automatically or already support the touchscreen, that you could set a touch to zoom that part of the screen. So you could easily just tap on the top left of your screen, it zooms it in, and then you let go, and then it unzooms. That would be a really easy way that could just be baked in to the default profile in Steam input. So yeah, it looks like they're thinking about ways that they can easily support that. Valve is, like they usually tend to be, a few steps ahead of where my thinking is. So glad to hear that that's just baked right into Steam input.
Yeah. Next comment is from Rinyu. They said the deck has a UTSI certified SD card slot. So probably the SD speeds will go up to about 104 megabits per second. Or is that megabytes per second?
Megabytes, yeah.
Megabytes, okay. Which is not the fastest, but I think it's fine for most games. It's comparable with a 5400 RPM hard disk drive, which yeah. I think, okay, 10 years ago, most people would be on a 5400 RPM hard disk drive. Yeah. These days, I'm going to guess that most people are probably on a 7200 hard disk drive, with very few people using what do they call it? I have one in my computer.
SSD,
thank you. Solid state drive, yeah. Yeah. With very few people actually having solid state drives in their main gaming machines, even though they should, because that is like the biggest, best upgrade you can do to your computer. It makes it so much faster. But those drives are really expensive. So most people are still on, myself included, for all of their data storage for like their games and stuff. Most people are still on like those mechanical hard drives. And so I've got a 7200 RPM hard drive that has almost all of my games on it.
Right.
And this will be very, very similar to that, especially because Frozen Dude replied to that comment. They said, remember, subtract the seek time from a hard disk drive when doing the calculation. SD/TF has seek speed in nanoseconds, and a hard disk drive has seek speed in milliseconds. So just to translate that for people who are unaware, and if I get anything wrong here, feel free to let me know in the comments. I'm fine with that. It doesn't always know where the data is on the hard drive when you're talking about a mechanical drive. It has to go and find that piece of information. Then once it finds it, it pulls the information into RAM, so then the computer can use that information. On an SSD or an SD card, it always knows where the stuff is. It doesn't have to go looking for that information. Am I getting that right, Lloyd?
Well, to be 100% clear, the drive always knows where that thing is. 100% knows where everything is. You're probably hearing some noise in my background. It looks like the kids are running the water outside, and for some reason it's making the pipes right above my head make noise, which I've never had before, so that's really odd. So the normal spinning hard drive always knows what the data is, but there's a seek time because it has a magnetic head, so the drive spins really fast, and then the head has to seek from the outside to the inside to find where that data is. On an SSD, there's no seek time. So a lot of the issues with hard drives, especially when hard drives were new in video games, like in consoles, they would write the same data to different parts of the bundle of data, because they knew that seeking back to pull this texture from the start of the bundle, where it would have been normally in this bundle executable, is going to take too much time. So they would have alternate copies of those textures and other files. And they did the same thing on DVDs when DVD became a medium, because it's faster to read the inside of a DVD than the outside, because it spins faster in the middle. Hard drives don't really work that way, but they would still duplicate chunks of data. On an SSD or an SD card, there is no seek time. You can read cell one of the SSD or the SD card at the same speed that you can read cell 1,000,000. Like there's no seek time. So while the data transfer is going to be comparable, when you're like doing a hard transfer of a block of data, the getting to small little bits of data is going to be a lot faster. So it's going to perform better than a 5400 RPM drive, from what Rinyu would put in here. It'll perform a little better, but it's still not going to be an SSD. SD cards are still a lot slower. But it's really good to see that this is a UTSI certified, so it's going to be super, super fast. So you can get the highest speed SD card and pop it in this thing, and it's not going to be too fast for the device. You're not going to be limited by what the bus can handle. You're just going to be limited by the SD cards that you're dropping into this thing.
Right, which, again, this is really just going to affect load times.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, yes, there are some games that that they will perform better if you have, like, the textures are on, like, an SSD. They can load super fast. Like, they showed us that thing with the PS5 where they were like, this is Spider-Man on the PS4. This is Spider-Man right. on the PS5. Look at how fast we can load the world in.
Yeah.
Same thing with Ratchet and Clank, where they can load in the worlds through those portals very quickly because of the SSD. And while, yes, that's true, those are extreme cases.
That's right.
And in most cases, you're going to be perfectly fine with just having a longer load time. Oh, well, I'm going to have to wait an extra 15 seconds for this to load, which for that 15 seconds, that sucks. But after that, it doesn't really matter. You're still going to have the same experience you would have on some other platform.
Exactly. And the reading stuff into memory, so your loads into a level or into a game might be a little bit longer if you're loading it from an SD card than an SSD that's built into the system. But most games aren't streaming in textures like the immediate time that you see them. So when you're playing games, you shouldn't notice any difference. It'll just be those load times. The SD card is fine. Like for most people, if you have a Nintendo Switch, most of your games are on the SD card all the time, and there really is no huge difference. And the Switch is using slower SD card, the bus and the controller that is bringing that data in is a lot slower than what's in the Steam Deck. So I'm thinking that those limitations are going to be even less apparent here on this device.
All right, let's move on to the next comment. This one is from Average Drafter. They said, those thermal images could not have gone better for Valve. What they're referring to is Linus from LTT brought in a thermal camera to point at the Steam Deck when he had his hands on with it, and it was like, it was really, really good. And here's what they continued to say. The handhold were essentially the same temperature. I'm sorry, they didn't say essentially. I added that in. The handhold were the same temperature as the table, while the vents were clearly doing a great job of pushing the heat away from the user. Yep. Same for that latency test. I wish someone would have inspected the case, though. You only see glimpses of it, and it's a pretty important part of the overall portability of the system. So talk a little bit about those thermals, and then we can talk about the case afterwards.
Yeah, Valve was really smart with the thermals by having the vents in the bottom. I mean, very similar to a Nintendo Switch, where it has the vents in the bottom, and then it brings the air up over the CPU and everything else, and then it comes out the vents. Very similar to what the Steam Deck is doing, and that's kind of what you want to do. I mean, you're leveraging the natural movement of heat. Heat wants to rise, so you have the vents on the top and the air intake on the bottom, which makes sense. I mean, most people will be playing like this, so the vents aren't technically on top, but they kind of are. It's gonna suck that air in and then blow over. Keeping your hands cool, though, because the Switch doesn't really have any sort of grips. It's flat, but the Steam Deck will have kind of these little grips that you're holding onto. You don't want those to get hot, because there's nothing worse when you're gaming than having sweaty hands. And I know when you're playing a game that gets really intense, you get sweaty enough just because your adrenaline starts firing. But keeping the heat out of there is going to make this a comfortable device to use. So I'm really excited about using the device and seeing it. We talked in the last episode about the possibility in the future of overclocking the CPU, GPU, APU, getting all that stuff overclocked when you're in docked mode or whatever. I don't know if the design is going to allow for that, just to get all that heat out. But at least at launch, I think it's going to be a cool device to use, which is going to be great.
The second part of their comment where they're talking about the case, you're right, they haven't shown much about the case. Mm-hmm. This is an official case from Valve for the Steam controller, and like, it's got like this nice heavy Valve pull zipper on it. Really, really nice. And if you open it up, this is a hard shell case. Like, this thing is a hard case, and it's all molded perfectly to fit the Steam controller in there. Even has a little spot for your CPU dongle. This thing, and it even has a spot for extra batteries. I think that's what that's for. I've never used that. But this is a really, really good case. And if this is an indicator of the build quality that we can expect for the case for the Steam Deck, I have absolutely zero issues at all. It's a great, really tough zipper, and it is a hard shell case. I see Lloyd is looking for something behind him. What are you looking for, man?
So one of my favorite additions to the Nintendo Switch is this thing. It's called a Satisfy Grip. And you put your Nintendo Switch into this guy, and it slides in really nice. And it gives you the meaty handles to hold on to, very much like a Steam Deck. So if you're used to playing a Nintendo Switch like this, I think the Steam Deck's going to be very portable. But what they did is, as part of the bundles when you bought it, they come out with these cases, these Satisfy cases that have nice indents for all the other things. It's a ruggedized case. It's not bulletproof, obviously. You could still crush it in a bag. I think that's the type of case that Valve's going to work on. Not super portable when you have this thing. Like, with the wings on this guy, it's about as wide as what a Steam Deck is going to be. Of course, it's going to be about twice as heavy. So I don't know how portable this portable game system is going to be. It is going to be significantly heavier than like a Nintendo Switch. But when you put something in a case like this, especially if there's a nice handle — this one doesn't have a handle, one of my other ones does — carrying it around like a little briefcase isn't such a bad experience either.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to compare that to, let's say, a gaming laptop.
Yeah.
Like, gaming laptops are like 5 pounds
or more.
Or some more, of the newer ones, maybe 7 pounds.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, like, they can be really, really heavy. So we've both just hit our mics. if you compare those two things, or if you compare that, like, the Steam Deck to the portability of a gaming laptop, it's infinitely better. Is the Steam Deck as portable as, say, a Nintendo Switch? Well, no, because it's a little bit bigger. And like Lloyd was just showing off, like, the size of his case for the Switch and the Satisfy Grip is about the size of a Steam Deck.
Yeah.
Well, then the case has to be bigger than that for the Steam Deck to fit in it. So yeah, it's not the most portable thing, but I can easily see myself throwing this thing in my backpack and anywhere that I go, having it with me, because I usually, whenever I go someplace and I'm going to be gone for any extended period of time, my iPad goes in my backpack. Yep. And I can also throw this in my backpack. And now I've really only increased the weight by 2 pounds, and it's not, it's not going to be tough to fit that in a backpack, I don't think. So I think it's definitely portable enough.
Yeah, the amount of time that I've spent trying to find a controller case that I could just throw a general random controller in my backpack when I travel, like, finding something that works and fits and isn't super bulky has been hard. I love the fact that the Steam Deck comes with a case, because now I don't even have to think about casing. I just put the thing in the case, seal it up, put it in my backpack, and I'm good to go. Because like you, I travel with my iPad, and I'll travel with my Backbone in a little hard case that I have in there, so that I can dock my phone for playing Stadia and stuff like that. And then I'll travel with my Switch. This is one device now that is going to do all that stuff for me. So I don't need to have multiple hard-sided protective cases for all this junk. The fact that the Steam Deck ships with one, and it looks like it's going to be pretty decent as well, is a very, very good thing.
All right, let's move on to the next comment. This one comes in from Codex404. I couldn't find the comment, but then we figured out where it was. It's a little 404 joke for you. They said they're responding to our question about what browser are they going to be using on SteamOS. And here's what they said. They said, quote, "We don't know what browser they use," quote. That's them quoting us. Now I'm going to quote them. "My guess is that the default in desktop mode will be Firefox, but it's a PC, so you can install any Chromium browser in it." And yes, that is true. It is a PC. That's the joke. Like, everybody keeps saying,
yeah, it's just
a PC. Right. So yeah, I can install whatever I want on it, but I also, in non-desktop mode, am curious about what that browser is. And it looks like we finally have an answer to that, which is really, really interesting, because Phil Spencer tweeted this out. If you don't know who Phil Spencer is, he's a big wig over at Xbox. And he said, I was at Valve Software this week talking with Scott, Eric, and Gabe about the Steam Deck. After having mine most of the week, oh, I hate you so much, he says, I can say it's a really nice device. Games with me on the go, screen size, controls, all great. Playing Halo and Age, I'm assuming he means Age of Empires, feels good. xCloud works well. Congrats, Steam Deck team. Yeah. So basically, well, first off, he's showing us a picture of the case, which kind of answers that question. It says Valve in the corner. It's got these little blue pull tabs. And it looks to be like a similar construction quality as the Steam controller case. Yep. But the big thing there is that he's playing xCloud on it. And if he's playing xCloud on it, then the default browser is Chromium or based on Chromium, which means that means Luna is going to work, Stadia is going to work, Xbox Cloud Gaming is going to work, although I notice even Phil Spencer messes up and calls it xCloud still, because it's a better name, Phil. It's a better name.
Definitely is.
And any of these other Chromium-based streaming platforms are going to work on the Steam Deck, and that is so exciting to me, because now I have a device that I can play anything I want, anywhere I want.
100%. Yeah. We do get that it's a PC. You can put whatever you want on a PC on it. But at least I'm coming at this podcast, and I think Bill's in the same boat, where we're coming at it as someone that is a console gamer, where what is going to be supported out of the box? How is it going to perform out of the box? Because I know PCs, you can tweak, you can overclock, you can edit INI files, you can make your FOV bigger, you can have widescreen monitors, all the crazy stuff you can do on PCs. I get that. But out of the box, having a functional, performant browser is important for people that want to stream Netflix, watch YouTube, go to Twitch, xCloud, or Stadia, or Luna from built into the device. So it looks like the default browser that is baked into the console mode looks like it's going to be Chromium-based. So you'll be able to just fire it up. Hopefully it's easy to make a bookmark that will show up on your game tab, so you can have your Xbox and your Stadia and your Luna icons right at the top of the screen if that's what you want to do. But having Chromium built into the default browser is awesome. The desktop mode stuff, I know you can install whatever the hell you want. I get that. And even not on the desktop mode, you can install whatever you want. But out of the box, we're really concerned with what the out of the box performance is going to be. And it looks like some of that was at least made less murky with the Phil Spencer tweet, that he was playing xCloud on it. And I don't know if Phil Spencer's a guy that would have gone into the desktop mode and fired up a web browser and done that, or if he was just trying to use the built-in stuff. So, yeah. Anyway, huge that they're already in the wild, that people at other companies already have them, and the fact that through an Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscription, you'll be able to install your PC games onto this device or use your xCloud, it just makes that's like maybe one of the best add-ons for Steam Deck, is getting an Xbox Ultimate subscription as an add-on to the Steam Deck to get all these great games for a low monthly fee. That's going to be pretty awesome.
And not only that, but the idea of storage, like storage is definitely a restriction that you want to think about when you're talking about a portable device like this. Yeah. You do not have infinite storage. So being able to stream your games to this thing, both from your local PC, which they have said, yes, you can do, but also streaming them through Xbox Cloud Gaming, Stadia, Luna. Those are all games that don't have to be stored on this device. And when you're only streaming them at 720p, you don't really have to have the best internet in order to have that. In fact, I don't know if you remember off the top of your head, Lloyd, but do you remember, what do you have to have in order to have 720p on Stadia?
I think it was 10 megabit. They said you need to have at least a 10 megabit internet or 15 megabit. It was really low. And that was the point that I wanted to jump on, is the fact that games are displaying on this device at 720p. And the Steam Deck itself has like all of the top end like radios and everything for the new standards of Wi-Fi. I don't think you're going to have any problems, even in really bad Wi-Fi situations, playing streaming games on this device, because 720p isn't a huge amount of data that's going to be streaming to this thing. So, I'm really excited about using my Steam Deck for streaming games and also playing games and installing games and having web browsers and all that fun stuff. But using it as a cloud gaming device, I think, is going to be one of the major use cases for me.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to a comment from Brandon Bloom. They give us a... Okay. So they said 1610, talking about a...
aspect ratio.
An aspect ratio. And my brain thought that they were talking about the time code, and so did YouTube. YouTube thought they were like at 16 minutes and 10 seconds in. But no, they're talking about the aspect ratio. Yeah. Which there's a little confusion out there. And I think I might be responsible for some of it, because I kept saying... 720p, and I kept saying 720p because there was a moment where one of the guys at Valve at the interview with IGN said 720p, but it's not actually 720p, it's 800p, right. Because it's a 1280 by 800, which is a 1610 aspect ratio, which is very different from most console gamers, which is 16:9. So right. When you look at 1080p, that's 1920 wide by 1080 tall.
Yep.
You divide those, it turns out to be an aspect ratio of 16. For every 16 pixels you go horizontally, you go 9 pixels vertically.
Right.
And so the 1610 aspect ratio is a little bit better for video games because it gives you a little more vertical space, which means you can see a little bit more. Which I think that's really cool. And that's what Brandon continued to say, even though I kind of talked over his point. It says 1610 lends itself better to 4x3 games, which can appear larger on screen with pillar boxes as opposed to 16:9 because of the extra vertical screen space.
Yep.
So, yeah, this, like, you did a video. And if you guys haven't seen that video, make sure you watch it, where Lloyd talked about all the reasons he's excited about the Steam Deck for retro games. This is going to be fantastic for retro games because it has a taller screen.
Yeah, like arcade cabinets for the longest time were 4x3 or like wider. They were probably closer to 16x10 for some of these crazy monitors that they were engineering just for these cabinets. Playing all these, or vertical when you're playing vertical games for a lot of them as well, for sure. So I'm just thinking of like installing MAME on this device and playing like. All my old arcade favorites, it isn't going to look too bad on this screen, even though it is 720p, essentially, or 780p, or whatever, 800p, whatever we want to call it, because it is going to be longer, taller than it is wide if it's just a 16x9 screen. So, it's going to be fantastic. And, it would be nice to think that they're going to have some sort of UI that's going to use that space. It's more likely that it's just going to be just to make games that much taller, which is going to fit better with this device that they designed because the screen is now taller in the console.
Yeah, I still think it would be cool to have like some menu stuff where you can just touch at the bottom of the screen and bring things up.
Yep.
But you can hide that stuff behind, like if I touch the top left, bring up menu X on the screen. Like that kind of stuff would be really, really cool.
Definitely.
All right. Thank you very much for the comment, Brandon, and everybody else as well. We've got another comment from this one I added in just a few minutes ago. Khalid Asaf says, and if I have mispronounced anybody's name, I apologize. Khalid says, I'm not sure how well the dev's controls for Steam Deck will be, honestly. Most of the stuff provided for the Steam controller were not that great. I'm paraphrasing because he's swearing. And I mostly relied on community profiles or making my own. I definitely would love to see devs optimizing their games for the Steam Deck, though. Definitely want a Steam Controller 2.0 based on the deck. And we'll talk about the Steam Controller thing in a little bit. But he is absolutely right. There's one game, I can't remember the name of it. It's a Souls-like game, very cartoony art style that I ended up picking up, where all of the characters, their skin was just like... They looked like shadows, almost like Jawas.
Right.
And so I can't remember the name of that game, but it was just a super cool game. And the devs had their own Steam controller layout, and it was terrible. It was real bad. you could even, like, go into the game, I remember, and, like, on the wall, they would show your Steam controller with the layout that they had chosen. And the controls were terrible. And a lot of people would just go and use community profiles like Khalid is saying here, or they would make their own. And right. He's basically saying this in response to what I had made a video about, where I talked about what I think that Valve should incentivize publishers and developers developing with these specific controls in mind, not exclusively for the Steam Deck, but saying, oh, and if you're on Steam Deck, then have a UI thing that comes up and says, when you touch this pad, this happens. Like, that's right. The kind of thing. I said Valve should incentivize devs to do that. But in the past, devs have been bad at that. Do you think that if Valve says, hey, you do a good job with this, we're going to put you on a specific part of the Steam store that says games optimized for Steam Deck, do you think that that would incentivize devs to do a better job at that?
I hope so. Phantom Abyss, is that the game you were thinking of?
No, because that's not a roguelike. That's one where you're running and jumping in like a weird parkour kind of thing.
Right.
I'm going to look up that game in my library right now while you're talking. Necropolis is the game that I'm thinking of. I just found it. It's awesome. Looks beautiful. I'll try and throw some B-roll in on top of this in a second. But sure. Really, really cool game. Unfortunately, they don't understand how people play it because their layout was terrible.
Yeah, I really hope that there is a designed for Steam Deck section of the store. So when you fire up the console and you go to the Steam store, you'll be able to go to a category that is designed for Steam Deck. And these are games that have previously come out that have optimizations built in for the device to make the controls better, to make it look better, increase the font size. Because I think not only will that allow people that are buying this device know what works well, but it will also hopefully give an additional revenue source for these older games that have been on Steam, where they update it, add a better font size, they make it work with touchscreen, they make it work with tilt by having the default controller profiles for the Steam Deck built into the game, and then it'll give a new lease on life on the Steam store. I think Valve could very much drum up a lot of support by doing that to get these games updated and made to perform better on this new device.
And there's going to be people who are going to say, well, but you can already do all that stuff yourself. Yeah. And you're right.
Yeah.
And like Lloyd has said a couple times in this episode, we understand that you can do all this, but the majority of people are not people who are going to sit down and listen to a show like this.
Right.
They are not going to fiddle with INI files. They are just going to use the default stuff. Now, luckily, unlike the Steam controller, the Steam Deck has all of the default stuff. It just has extra, which means most games are just going to be perfect on it. Like, you sit down, you play it, you're just going to use the two sticks and you'll be fine.
Right.
But by pushing forward games that utilize that, that built in that stuff, is going to really make those games shine on the Steam Deck. And then there's also going to be people who say, well, you can just set all that stuff up with the trackpads yourself. Yeah. Yes, you can. But some games, it just simply does not work very well because some games make it specifically, and this is what Valve said about this, they make it specifically so that you cannot use a controller and a mouse at the same time. So right. If I'm trying to use this stick as my movement controls and this pad as my mouse controls, the game freaks out and doesn't understand what to do because you're trying to use these two inputs that are incompatible. So like there's an FAQ that Valve put on Steam, I think it's on steamdeck.com, where they said, okay, well, how do I get my game ready for Steam Deck? They said, make sure that you have it so that you can do both things at the same time.
Right.
Because like those are the kind of things that can, it's not a, I don't think, I'm not a developer. I don't think it's a lot of effort in order to pull that off. Not like porting a game or something. But it's like something that the amount of effort that would go into it is minuscule compared to the benefit that you would get from that effort. Does that make sense, Lloyd?
100%. Yeah, you sum that up perfectly for kind of like we're coming at the Steam Deck as not a standard PC gamer. I have a PC. I've been PC gaming since like early 90s. I've been doing the BBS shareware thing forever. And when consoles got better, like around the original Xbox, where you could have PC-like experiences on console, I decided to primarily move over to console gaming because I don't want to tweak. My day job is IT. I don't want to come home and have to go through INI files and tweak and find crash reports and all these crazy things that were happening in PC gaming at the time. So I moved away from the PC gaming standpoint to something that is a console. So that's where I'm really excited about the Steam Deck. Well, I understand that I can go in and tweak everything because it's just a PC. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to do that. So having this made for Steam Deck category where I could find all the games that I've maybe wanted to play in the past, but it is tuned specifically for the Steam Deck, I'll have no problems like dropping $5, $10, $20 on a game that I wanted to play forever if it's just going to work on my device without me having to fiddle. And like you said, Bill, trying to find a control scheme that works, but is this game going to support both keyboard and mouse inputs and controller inputs at the same time? Or do I have to even make something that's even more convoluted just because I'm running it on this device? I hope beyond any other hope that a lot of those kind of rough edges kind of disappear. Because while we understand that a lot of people that are commenting on these YouTube videos are hardcore PC people that love to get in there in the thick of tweaking things to get one or two extra frames per second out of the new FPS that just came out. We're not those types of gamers. At least I'm going to talk for myself. I'm not that kind of gamer anymore. I just want to jump into a device that just works. And I really hope that that is what the Steam Deck is going to be. And that Valve really rewards developers that make their games that way by having profiles specifically engineered for the pluses and minuses of the Steam Deck as both the console and control surface for those games.
Yeah, and then you get the, like, there's going to be people who are like, well, if you don't care about that stuff, then, you know, you suck or whatever. And I to those people, I say, just don't gatekeep. Gaming is supposed to be a thing that brings people together. It's supposed to be about the fun. And then when you kind of gatekeep people away, you make it lesser than. One more thing that I want to talk about real quick that I really hope Valve does is get, and this might not be on Valve, this might be on the developers. When I look through, because I broke my elbow forever ago, playing keyboard and mouse is painful. I don't like to play that way. It's more comfortable for me to play with a controller. So a lot of times when I go into the Steam store, I will look at games and then it will say partial controller support. And I don't know what that means. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I had a developer send me a copy of this game, and it's not out yet, and I don't know if it's under NDA right now, so I'm not going to say what game it is. But I was like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. And I looked at it on the store. It said, I think it said partial controller support. And I was like, oh, okay. So I emailed them, and I was like, I'm really only interested in it if I can play with a controller. He was like, oh, yeah, it's totally, like, you can play the whole thing with controller. I was like, oh, okay. Why does it say partial controller support on the store? Like, that's the kind of thing that is going to scare players, some players away. A lot of players who stayed out of PC gaming for a really long time because of the complexity of it, they look at the Steam Deck, they say, this looks simple. This looks like a console. I'm going to buy this thing, take it home, and then get confused about stuff. So I hope that Steam makes the store a little more, what's the word that I'm looking for, Lloyd, where they communicate it better.
Yeah, I know what you're trying to get at. I'm not sure how to say it either in such a way. But yeah, I really hope like that everything is filtered through the eyes of not the PC master race community. That it's more of a, okay, you're coming to Steam maybe for the first time. Maybe you've downloaded Half-Life because we were giving it away for free 8 years ago. But here's all the other games that are on Steam, and these will be easy for you to play. You just go here, you go to the Made for Steam Deck location, and all the games that are here are certified to work for the Steam Deck without any sort of manual tweaking. And that'll get the newbies happy. So people like me, although I have a huge Steam library and I do play a lot of PC games, I prefer console gaming. And being able to have a console-like experience for Steam games is important to me. And I know there's a lot of people out there like that as well, while still being a PC that the wanna tweaks can go and tweak and do whatever they want to make it perform better for them. That's not the experience I'm looking for.
Absolutely. All right. This has been episode 3 of On Deck. It's a podcast. If you got to the end, then you know it's about the Steam Deck. Lloyd and I have other podcasts, though, and we would love it if you would check those out. Mm-hmm. Lloyd hosts Nintendo Pulse, the longest running Nintendo focused podcast of all time. Yeah. I host Nintendo Switchcraft. That's how we met, is through doing our Nintendo shows, right. Which is a weekly podcast about Nintendo. We host together a show called Stadia Cast, which is all about Google Stadia. And I see a lot of people leaving comments in these videos that they don't care about Stadia. That's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, it works and you should try it out. Yeah. And then finally, I also have a podcast which is not on the regular. It comes out whenever, but it's called 143 Pixels, where I interview people about their favorite games. So if any of that stuff sounds good, there's links in the description down below on our YouTube channel. Again, the YouTube channel is nerdnest.tv. And if you want to listen to this show wherever podcasts are found, then that's easy too. You just look for On Deck, or you can head on over to anchor.fm/ondeck5, because there were already 4 On Decks before us, I guess, but not about the Steam Deck.
Right.
Anything you want to say before we get out of here, Lloyd?
No, it's been so amazing getting to know so many more people that are jazzed about the Steam Deck. We do have a really great community. Join our Discord over at nerdnest.tv/discord. We'll take you right to the Nerdnest Discord. There's a lot of people that are chatting about all gaming, PC and not. And I look forward to meeting a bunch of other people through this podcast, because, new platforms are amazing, Bill. And you can make friends with a lot of people that are just as jazzed as you are, and then kind of see what happens when the product releases. So stuff like this is always super exciting for me.
All right. Take it easy, everybody, for episode 3 of On Deck.